Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the creator of all things visible and invisible. Father, you are all powerful. With you, all things are possible. Father, we thank you for the love that you pour out into our lives through the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that brings us into a faith relationship with you. Lord, we are stressed about many things. We're harassed and harried. We pray, Father, that your healing hand will reach into our lives right now and soothe our frazzled nerves and bring us into peace with you and all creation. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, this is the season to be jolly, right? Is everybody jolly? Yes. Everybody jolly? That's good. We should be. We should be because we have a God that loved us so much that he became one of us, that he came into this world to take upon himself our sin, to give us what we could never achieve for ourselves, and that's forgiveness. But Christmas time in our secular world kind of blends in with our faith world, amen? There's a lot of things. We got to put up lights, trees. We got to put up candles. We got shopping to do. We got all kinds of things that are demanding. We've got menus to put together. We've got guest lists to, who do we invite this year? Last year, Uncle Charlie passed out in the mashed potatoes. Do we bring him back again? There's a lot of stress. How's the family going to be? And what about those family members that are absent? People that didn't return from war. Do I still leave a place set for my son who lost his life in Vietnam? Lost his life in Iraq? Lost their life in Afghanistan? It's been a lot of wars, hasn't there? Years, decades of wars. We're filled with grief. We're filled with longing because this is a time when we generally think of family that's together. And when people are not, parents that used to be the ones that we gathered around are now at that great banquet with Jesus, and they're not with us, and we miss them. So what do we do at this time? Well, I was reading through the lectionary, all four of the readings, the Psalm, the Old Testament, the Epistle, and this one, the Epistle just jumped out at me because it gave to me a very clear message for this time of the year, and I want to share that message with you. And it's about God's anxiety reduction plan. And Paul writes to the city in Philippi, who, by the way, it was a city that was going through a great deal of struggles. They were being overtaxed by the Romans. There were a couple women, could have been men too, but Paul starts out the chapter with these two women who are bickering between each other, causing division in the group. That doesn't ever happen today, does it? It doesn't happen in congregations. It doesn't happen in families. Yeah, things have not changed that much. So Paul is writing to the Philippians, a letter that's, and by the way, Paul is in prison. He's in prison in Rome. He's about to be executed. And he writes this letter. It's not like he's experiencing this ivory tower kind of existence. It's in the midst of these struggles. It's in the midst of everyday life that Paul reaches out to them and to us this morning with these words. And he says, rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again. Rejoice. It's an imperative. It's a command. God is commanding these Philippians in the midst of their strife, in the midst of their conflict, in the midst of their worrying about are they going to have enough money to support their church. He says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. What good advice for us. What great advice. Because joy, I've discovered in my life, is not something that I produce in myself, but it's a response to having received something. We receive the gift of Jesus Christ, and we sing, joy to the world. I see this beautiful sunset. My heart is filled with joy. I hold this incredible grandchild. My heart is filled with joy. I get on the traffic jammed Highway 94 and, well, we'll leave that one out. I was on a roll too. That's when I need this anxiety reduction plan that God has. It's a double imperative. And what brings us joy? What brings God joy? One of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and I know I say this about all the chapters of the Bible, but for right now, this is one of my favorite chapters, is Luke chapter 15. It's the party chapter. You guys like to party? It's the party chapter of the Bible. It's about three things that are lost, three things that are found, and three parties that are thrown because they're found. The first one is about this shepherd that has these 100 sheep. One of them wanders away, so he leaves the 99. He goes out and finds the one that is lost. He puts him on his shoulders. He brings it back to the other ones. He goes, oh, cut the best clover. Let's break out the hay. Fire up the carne asada. We're going to have a party. The one that is lost is found, and there's rejoicing in heaven. The next story is similar to that. It's about a woman who has these 10 coins. Maybe they were her dowry. Her saving up so she could be married at some point, and she loses one of them. So she takes everything out of her house. She sweeps and sweeps until she finds it, and then she invites all of her friends, and she rejoices. And then there's that famous story about the prodigal son. Remember, the father has two sons, the younger one, the little brat. And I don't know about you, but I find it true in my family, the youngest one is the little brat. I'm the middle one. I'm the faithful, obedient one. But anyway, moving on. Sorry, Jeff. You know it's true. Anyway, the younger one, he tells his father, I want my inheritance. In other words, drop dead and die and give me your money. I don't want your influence in my life anymore. So he takes the money. He goes to a faraway place, and he squanders it in wild living. And after the money's gone, there's a famine among the whole area, and he's in great need, but no one will give him anything. So while he's feeding the pigs, a Jewish boy feeding pigs, the lowest job you could possibly get, he's feeding pigs these pods, wishing that he could even fill his own stomach with the stuff he's given to the pigs, but no one gave him anything. And he comes to mind. He has this moment of clarity. We might call it a conversion experience. It comes to him all of a sudden. It's clear. Wow. My father's house that I couldn't wait to get out of? Even the slaves have it better off than me. So I know what I'll do. I'll go to my father. And I'll say to my father, Dad, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your slaves. He has the speech all worked out. And he wondered, how am I going to be received? Little did he know that his father, every single day that he was gone, stood on the porch, looking over the hill, waiting for his son to come home. Went to bed that night disappointed and sad. The next morning he's out there again. He's looking, and he's looking. And finally, one day, he's on the porch, and he sees his son. He sees his son coming towards him. And the father just runs. And he runs and he throws his arm around the son. And the son tries to give him the speech. Dad, I'm not worthy to be called your son. He goes, just be quiet. Let me love you. Let me receive you back into my household. And he kills the fatted calf. Oh, there's rejoicing. There's a party at that place. That's what brings God joy. And God invites us to rejoice with him, because we are that one sheep that was lost. We are the coin that was lost. We are the prodigal son. And even though we've come into faith, and even though I have Christ in me, I still need converting from time to time, because not my whole body is converted. Can I get an amen? That sitting on the traffic jam, Highway 94, that's not converted, Dave. Holding that beautiful baby grandchild, that's converted, Dave. But I need this conversion process all the time. It's not something that's done. And this advice that Paul gives us isn't just something that we're going to do once and find results. It's going to be a way of life. It's something that we deal with the world as the world deals with us. It's how are we going to be proactive and yet respond at the same time. Are you following me? This is not something that's going to be instant. So if I give you this thing that God gives us, and you go home and you try it for 15 minutes, don't call me and say, David, didn't work. It's not supposed to work in 15 minutes. This is going to be a pattern of life that we're going to establish for ourselves. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Where is the Lord? He's in the bread and wine. Where is the Lord? He's in the waters of our baptism. Where is the Lord? He's in the music that we sing. Where is the Lord? He's in the word that we share from Holy Scripture. Where is the Lord? He's in my heart. Do you hear that story about the little boy that goes into the doctor and the doctor's trying to, you know, get him feeling comfortable, and he's looking, puts the thing in his ear, how am I going to find Bozo in there? And he goes, no. And he puts the little stethoscope on, am I going to find Barney in there? And he goes, no, Barney's on my underwear. Jesus is in my heart. Jesus is in our heart. I don't know if Barney's in your underwear. If you're an adult, I would admit it. Jesus is with him. The Lord is near. Let your gentleness to be evident to all. And then he says these outrageous words. Do not be anxious about anything. Really? You know, one of the worst things that I could ever do to my wife when she's all frazzled and upset, and I've learned this by experience, is to say, chill. Just chill out. It's like, dummy, if I could chill, I would be. So you know what I've learned? I've learned this. It offers some solution. Babe, deep breaths. Take some deep breaths and relax. Now that's offering a little bit of a solution, right? It's, the women aren't nodding. I think it is. I think it's offering somewhat of a solution. It's saying, I see you're upset, but just take some deep breaths. It's going to be okay. Do not be anxious about anything. Let's try it out. We're going to do a little litany. Your part is, do not be anxious about anything. Let's try it out.
Do not be anxious about anything.
All right. The world is such a mess. Russia is massing its troops. China is spreading disease and hacking into computers. I'm so worried. I'm really concerned about the friends that my kids are making. I'm afraid that Uncle Charlie is going to pass out in his mashed potatoes again this year. I don't know how on earth we're ever going to reconcile this country. Yeah, how many of those problems could you solve on your own? Yeah. Do not be anxious about anything. Now Paul comes up with, here's the solution to that. He tells us what to do. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the God of peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. There it is, folks. There's his anxiety reduction plan. We take these things that we have no way of solving, and we bring them to God in prayer. Prayer is the antithesis of anxiety. Prayer connects us with a God. Now, who is this God? This God is the one in Genesis chapter 1 that said, God created what? The heavens and the earth and everything in it. He is the one that spoke into existence that which was not himself. Everything that's visible and invisible, God created. Is there anything that God can't do? Is there anything that God can't do?
No.
No, there is nothing that God can't do. So when people tell me, I just can't believe in the virgin birth, are you nuts? God created the stars and he hangs it in the sky. He can't give a birth to a virgin girl. With God, all things are possible. God can do anything. So can God solve your problem? Oh, yeah. Let's say you had your car breaks down. I hope it doesn't, but let's say it did. And you have a really good friend that's this master mechanic. And you're feeling pretty good about it. But then you call him and say, dude, my car just broke down. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he goes, well, bring it over right now and I'll fix it. How do you feel? Do you feel stress? Do you feel anxiety? No, because he's your friend. He has the tools and he has the talent and he's going to fix your car. Well, this mechanic friend of mine is nothing compared to God. So when I bring my request to God and I say, God, I got this issue that is just bigger than me. I can't handle it. But then I don't give it to him. It's like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? I don't know what's wrong with me. Most of the things that I've let go of had claw marks on them. Can I get an amen? I'm holding on to these things. And then when I finally decide to let them go and God gives me that peace, oh, that peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. Have you tasted it? Have you experienced it? Oh, there's nothing so sweet. I wish that I could find a way to live my life in that peace all the time. But it's enough. It's enough to know that it's there. And it's enough for me to know that if I do what I need to do, God will do what he always does. And he will grant me that peace. My brother Doug lives in Oregon. He's the older brother, not the sissy one, not the bratty one. That's Jeff. My brother Doug lives in Oregon. And it gets cold up there. It gets rainy up there. And he loves to go to Hawaii. He don't do it all that often. But he's told me one day, you know, Dave, just knowing that Hawaii's there makes me feel better. Yeah? And I have to say that's true about God. Just knowing that God's there. That God's available to me, that you never get the busy signal. And God tells us, don't worry. How's that going to add to you? He says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Finally, he says this. He says, I'm going to break out. I don't know what happened to our bulletins lately. We are almost speaking in tongues in the translations that are being used for our gospel and our readings. I think we got stuck in the twilight zone where the King James was the version. But I'm going to read it out of the NIV because that makes more sense to me. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things and the God of peace will be with you. Whatever's excellent, whatever's praiseworthy. How many of you know that our brains will take whatever we put into it and give out the same? Garbage in, garbage out. My brain doesn't know if it's true or not. If I put it in there, I'm going to have that stuff bouncing all around in me. What I need to do is be careful. Be careful what I put into my mind. Think about those things that are excellent. Think about those things that are noble. Think about those things that are true. There is so much power in that. There is so much power in that. And this thing about Thanksgiving, I've got to tell you that one of the most transformative skills that I've ever learned in my Christian walk is to have an attitude of gratitude. Positive thinking. Now, positive thinking doesn't turn a blind eye on the ills of society. What positive thinking does for me is to tell me that I am a child of God, that I am blessed and I'm highly favored, that I am living in the consciousness of my blessed condition. That's what the positive thinking tells to me. And I learned a long time ago to every morning write down 5 things to be grateful for. Then get on your knees and thank God for it. The next day, write down 5 more things. By the end of the month, you've got 150 things. Because guess what? I don't know how your mind is, but my mind, default mode, is negative. It goes to the negative before it even stops to think about the positive. Am I just the only sick one here? Or you've got other people too? Yeah, well, good. Maybe it's a common thing of humanity. But the cure for that is to retrain my brain, is to make it and force it think about things that are blessings in my life. Count those blessings. Because whatever we give energy to, we empower. And whatever we empower grows larger. Are you following me here? So Paul is giving us this advice. Don't be thinking about those problems. Give them to God, let them go, and then start counting your blessings. Think about all the excellent things that are all around you. Think about the gifts that you have received. Think about who you are, that you're a child of God. And it doesn't matter what anyone else might say about you, you are who you are. That's that great song that goes like, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Did I get the lyrics right? Pretty close? close enough for preaching? All right. It's all about what God is willing to do for us and able to do for us. And Paul is telling us this day that in the midst of all our anxieties, in the midst of all of our strengths, he has a solution. And his solution is to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, make a request known to God, and the God of peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. In whose name we pray, amen. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.